Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Dennis Shore, Pesach Zeh Ben Chava, Rav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Before we discuss the one subject that we're going to be focusing on this week's program, which I think is a fascinating subject, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. But before we get to it, I am sick. I have acute bronchitis. For those of you who don't know, there are two types of bronchitis. There's chronic bronchitis and acute bronchitis. Chronic bronchitis is the more serious version. That, in the vast majority of cases, is caused by smoking. And chronic bronchitis can indeed lead to terrible, terrible complications and diseases and even death. I have acute bronchitis, which is contagious, highly contagious. And so I got it from somebody else. And it's a long story. Somebody gave me a lift from the airport. It's a long story. And that person had the bronchitis. That person thought they just had a cold, but they had bronchitis. And so now I have it. Acute bronchitis is not fatal. Excuse me. You already hear me clearing my throat and coughing, and you're going to hear a lot of that during this program. Acute bronchitis is not fatal, but it has to be taken care of. The main thing that, the main annoying aspect of it is that the coughing can last even when all the other symptoms disappear, which for me they have already. It can last for weeks and even months, the constant coughing and problems with the throat and with the chest. That's something that can go on for quite a while. I have it now for 2.5 weeks. So I'm experiencing what people with acute bronchitis experience. I'm trying to take care of it as best I can. I've got to rest and take it easy, which for me is not easy at all to do. I'm not the type of person that rests and takes it easy. So for me, that's very hard to do, but I have to do it. Yes, I've seen a doctor, and that is the diagnosis. I was going to say something else about it. I don't even remember exactly what I was going to say about the acute bronchitis, except that if you don't take care of acute bronchitis when you have it, it can lead to pneumonia, God forbid. And pneumonia can be fatal. Pneumonia is can be a very serious illness and can be fatal. So I got to be careful. I'm a 63-year-old guy. I'm very rarely sick, very rare. But now I got it, and I got it bad. I got the bronchitis and I got that cough. I don't have any other symptoms. Aside from my constant coughing and constantly having to clear my throat, I feel fine. But I do have to cough and I do have to clear my throat all the time, and I do have to be careful, because if I'm not, again, it can lead to pneumonia, God forbid, which can be fatal. So I'm going to be very careful, but Bezrat Hashem, God willing, and Bezrat Hashem, hopefully in the upcoming weeks, I won't have it, but you may see me with this for a while, because this is something that sometimes takes a long time to get over. We're going to be discussing clinical death. In other words, someone who is clinically dead or brain dead, they're considered to be dead in effect, and then they're brought back to life. Some people come back to life naturally, even after being clinically dead. Somehow the body amazingly comes back to life. But in most cases, nowadays, the doctors bring them back to life. So it's usually doctors or hospital or someone that brings them back to life. This is something that has happened to millions of people. Millions of people have experienced clinical death. And what happens to these people, what happens to their soul when they are dead for a short period of time, dead in quotes, is the subject that we want to discuss on this week's program. We have discussed this a number of times as a side subject, but we're going to discuss it now as the subject of the program because I think it's something that really should make all of us do a lot of thinking. 15 to 40% of adults and 80% of children who have experienced clinical death or near-death experiences, sometimes it's called a near-death experience, 15 to 40% of adults and 80% of children experience the following amazing situation. Number one, their soul. They feel their soul being separated from their body. They rise up in the air from their body and are floating in the sky and looking down at their body. And their soul is separated from the body. That's the first thing they feel they're experiencing. The second thing they feel they're experiencing, they see a beautiful, magnificent, stunning light coming out of a tunnel. A beautiful light in a beautiful tunnel, and they somehow know that God is at the end of that tunnel and are drawn. Their soul is drawn to that tunnel, to that beautiful light. They also feel a tremendous feeling of love. Tremendous sense of love they feel coming over them. And again, they feel it's a godly type of love. And then their soul moves toward the tunnel. And eventually, they see relatives of theirs who have passed away. Deceased relatives of theirs. Parents, grandparents, others who died years past, who welcome them and who speak to them and communicate to them telepathically. They don't communicate and speak to them, it's not verbal the way we do, but through the mind. They speak to them and they have a complete understanding of what their relatives are telling them, and when they respond to the relatives have a complete understanding of the response. And so that's another amazing experience they're having. And then they see, some of them see their whole life in front of them. They see like a film of their whole life in front of them. Let's say someone has lived 80 years. He sees the whole 80 years. Excuse me. From the time he was born to the time he passed, to the time he entered into this period of clinical or near death, the whole 80 years he witnesses right in front of him. And it only lasts a couple of seconds, but they see the whole 80 years compressed into a couple of seconds. And they actually see the whole 80 years because there's no limitation on time or space in the next world. It's like when you dream. You can have dreams that are very deep dreams and very involved dreams, and you feel all types of things are happening, and the dream lasted only 10 seconds or 30 seconds. A dream that lasts 10 or 30 seconds sometimes can have all types of stories and things involved in because you're in a different world where time does not limit you the same way it does in this world. In this world, if you want to see 80 years of someone's life, and literally see it second for second, it takes 80 years to see it. But in the spiritual world, you can see things that transpired over 80 years or over thousands of years within seconds. So that's something else they experience. And then, when they come back, and again, this is amazing because this is described by 15 to 40% of adults that undergo near-death experiences, and 80% of children. 80% of children experience these things in a near-death experience. They're able to tell the doctors or the other people around them exactly what happened, what type of treatment they received. This is after they're supposedly dead. They're supposedly brain dead. They're not supposed to have any consciousness or any ability to understand what was going on. And yet they know exactly what the treatment was, or they know exactly what streets were taken to the hospital, if they were in an ambulance or in a car. They can describe colors. One girl who was born blind and had never seen colors and never knew what colors were like, never had any idea what the world looked like because she was born blind and never had her sight. She was totally blind her whole life. She described the colors and the instruments that were used to treat her in the hospital and described them with precision. And the doctors were stunned. I could give you many other instances that are just astonishing of what people described. Now, the atheistic medical world and scientific world has gone to great lengths to try to disprove any of this and say this is nonsense. People just think this because they were taught this or because this is part of their faith, their religious beliefs. But atheists also experience this. Yossi Sarid, a Jewish communist, self-hating, anti-Semitic piece of subhuman garbage, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, the lowest of the low, an Arafatan, self-hating, Judenrat Jew, who hated Judaism. Thank God he's not with us anymore. But he hated Judaism, and he hated the Torah, and hated religious Jews, and hated Israel. Even though he was a member of the Knesset, he hated Israel, because you're allowed to hate Israel and be a traitor and serve in the Knesset. That's perfectly okay. If you're loyal to Israel, like I am, you're not allowed to set foot in Israel, or like Rabbi Kahana was, you're banned from running for the Knesset. But anyway, Yossi Sarid, a notorious Jewish communist anti-Semite, the worst, the lowest of the low, and a militant atheist his whole life, he experienced this. He had a stroke or some sort of, I think it was a stroke, in a car. He was with his family and they were driving. He had a stroke. They drove him to the hospital. And he experienced this. And he said, I don't understand it. And he, by the way, he continued to say, I refuse to believe. Even though this happened to me, I refuse to believe that the soul lives after death. Despite, I have no explanation for how why this happened, but I still refuse to believe the soul lives after death. But he said that he experienced this. Yossi Sarid. I know an attorney in Israel who was a lifelong atheist who had a heart attack while crossing the street in Tel Aviv, collapsed in the middle of the street. And all of a sudden I see him one day. He was visiting New York, and all of a sudden I see him one day because we used to argue from time to time. And he claimed to be a right-winger, even though he was an atheist. But we used to argue about religion. And all of a sudden, I see him with a kippah, with a skull cap on his head. I said, what happened to you? And he told me what happened. He experienced this. He saw the paramedics. He saw what streets they took him, and he described the streets. He said they went the wrong way to the hospital. And he told them the wrong street they took, and they were stunned because he was clinically dead. He knew the streets they took. He knew exactly what they did. He knew exactly what they did in the hospital, what the care was. He saw it all. And so he, this lifelong atheist, became religious when he came back to, when they brought him back to life. (Clears throat) Now, the anti-religious psychotic individuals in the scientific world, and they are psychotic because they're obsessed with trying to prove there is no God, because they want to be gods. They want to, people to worship human beings, and they don't want, because if they if they have to acknowledge that there's a God, that means they have to acknowledge that there's a Torah, and they have to observe the mitzvot, and they have to do all the things that they hate and that they don't want to do. So they claim that there are, that the mind produces certain drugs that can create this effect. But the drugs that the mind produces, which it does sometimes in situations like this, the drugs that the mind produces do not cause this effect in people. Do not cause all of these people to have the same, almost the same exact experience. So, their theory is just absurd. It's ridiculous. In fact, the things they describe, which they say cause this, would actually cause somebody not to be clinically dead, but to be experiencing wild movements in their body and so on, all types of things which don't happen to someone who's clinically dead. So what they're saying is just wrong scientifically. But they're so desperate to prove this isn't true, to prove that the endless numbers of people in 150 different languages all over the world who have attested to this, that all of these people cannot be telling the truth, that children who know nothing about religion, who have never heard about any of this, who come back and explain what they experienced, little kids coming back and explaining this in all these different cultures and all these different languages, they're trying to explain this, but it's absurd. They can't explain it away with what they're saying. And so we have a situation where a growing number of doctors and researchers are concluding that there's something there. They don't know what it is. They refuse to acknowledge that it's God, that, you know, some of them refuse to acknowledge that. Some of them. But they say that there's something there. I just saw a program on Israeli television with this non-religious left-wing doctor who appears on television, establishment doctor, appears on television. And he said he's concluded that there is something there. Something happens. The soul goes on. Something happens, and that these people, and he said all these people are not making this up, and all these children and all these other people from all around the world that have experienced this are not making this up, that something really happens. He concluded that this is real. And growing numbers of doctors who are honest and scientists and researchers who are honest are concluding that there's something there, that it's real. Because again, people who are hostile to religion, atheists, are experiencing this. I told you, I know someone who's an attorney who was an atheist who experienced it. And Yossi Sarid, the most notorious anti-religious Jewish anti-Semite, he experienced it and spoke about it on Kol Yisrael. And we did a video in Hebrew with his interview in Hebrew where he speaks about this. You can find it on YouTube if you want. It's on YouTube, the interview that he did. We did a video on it. So this is real. Now, it's true that, of course, there are going to be some people with distorted... Nothing is perfect in this world. Not in this world, because it's a world of tests. And so you're going to have some people, of course, who are going to say they saw Jesus also. That's a small minority of the people, by the way, who say that. The vast majority of people say that they just knew that there was a godly presence without any particular attachment to any particular religion. But you're going to have some people who are going to bring Jesus into it and claim they saw Jesus. Which, of course, that is nonsense. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend my Christian viewers, but we as Jews do not believe that is possible, because we believe that Jesus represents a false religion. And, you know, even though we respect you for your right to believe in what you want to believe in, we do not believe that it's possible to see someone who represents a religion that says that God became a man, which for us is a form of idolatry. So we don't believe that's possible. But having said that, the vast majority of people have not said that. The vast majority of people, you're never going to have something perfect, but the vast majority of people who have experienced this have said that they've just had a godly experience and that they thought it was God. And some of them were Christians and some of them were Jews and some of them were atheists. People from all religions, from all languages, from all cultures have experienced this. Chazal, the rabbis of the Talmud, tell us that this is what people experience after they die. That there's a tunnel and that there's a light that pulls the soul. They told us this thousands of years ago. Excuse me. And so now we see this again. We see that another thing that the rabbis told us is being confirmed as true. Our great leader, our beloved rabbi, Harav Meir David Kahana, Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. May the name and memory of this saint be immortalized. May God avenge his blood. Our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana always used to say, after all the things we see in this world, including the resurrection of the State of Israel, the return of the Jews to the Holy Land after 2,000 years, the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and all the other things we've discussed on so many programs here, if you don't believe, you're not an atheist, you're blind. That's what Rabbi Kahana used to say, and it is so true. So true. I apologize again for my voice. If there are people out there that are sensitive when they see somebody coughing occasionally or clearing their throat occasionally, because I know from experience over the years that if I cough or I clear my throat, some people freak out when they see somebody doing this. So you have to have an absolutely perfect throat and perfect when you do. What am I going to do? I couldn't produce that for you this week. So I hope you're not going to freak out because I'm coughing and because I'm clearing my throat. This is the one symptom of acute bronchitis that lasts for weeks, and it's something that I can't kick for a while. I'm going to have this for a while, unfortunately. But I just want you to know that the return of the Jews to the land of Israel, the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, the fact that God will eventually be the open ruler of this world, and all biblical prophecy will come true, and the whole world will acknowledge and will know that God is the king of the world. All of these things are coming to pass. And the better prepared the Jewish people in Israel are for this, especially the Jewish people in Israel, the better off the world will be. The better off Jews will be, of course. And that's why it's so important that JTF brings a message that no one else brings to the Jews of Israel, which we do. We have an advertising campaign. We reach tens of thousands of Jews with our message. And God willing, I hope that it will have the desired impact and that little by little will wake people up. I see people responding in Hebrew to our Hebrew videos, saying, praising us and saying how right we are and so on. So theoretically, there seems to be some effect taking place, but again, it's a process that takes time because we don't have the budget to do the massive advertising that we'd really like to do, but we're still reaching tens of thousands of people in a country of 6 million Jews, and that is important. Because if we weren't doing it, no one else would. So just remember, life is very short and passes by very quickly in this world. Because this world is a prosdor. It's like a hallway. Until we get to the traklin. These aren't even Hebrew words, but they're words in the Talmud, and the Gemara, until we get to the Traklin. The Traklin is the room, the living room where we really will see in the next world all the things that we really aspire to see. This is just a passageway, this world. It's all a test, it's all a passageway, and a short one. Filled with challenges, filled with difficulties, but filled with opportunity, so that we can earn our way into eternal life where, which never ends, where all is good, and where Hashem, the ultimate ruler, is our king, and only wonderful and beautiful things exist in that world if we earn our place into that world. So never give up, because things sometimes look bad in this world. This is Alma de Shikra. This is the world of lies. The real world, the world of truth, is the next world. And that's a world that will come. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.